Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as The Word is the Way to Life. We know that the Word is Jesus. He became flesh and he dwelt among us, and he is the way to life. Well, you know, Jesus was from the beginning and to the end, and he is everything. And through Scripture in the Old Testament, he's concealed. In the New Testament, he's revealed. Now, we took a little break from our study in Ecclesiastes last week for the celebration of the Chrismon service, and hope and pray that you enjoyed it. A lot of people put a lot of work into making it happen, very edifying and educational. I love the symbols, and they tell a story. You know, before there was writings that we could understand, people use symbols to communicate with. It's really neat. But we pick up Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, in the New Living Translation says this, and this is the importance of fearing God. You heard, well, in the I fear God. Well, you're not afraid of God, but you fear him in love and reverence. And Solomon's talking about the importance of fearing God in verses 1 through 7. Hear God's word. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Don't be a fool who doesn't realize that mindless offerings to God are evil. And don't make rash promises to God, for he is in heaven, and you are only here on earth. So let your words be few. Just as being too busy gives you nightmares, and being a fool makes you a blabbermouth, so when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It's better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through on. In such cases, your mouth is making your sin. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. So dreaming all the time instead of working is foolishness. And there is ruin in a flood of empty words. Fear God instead. Well, may God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing and the understanding about that. I always said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I think Solomon also agrees with that. But in reverence and awe, the fear of the Lord. I think sometimes that word fear is better translated love, but that's me. But the scripture that I just read, Solomon, the teacher, introduces a new topic. He said, how should you worship God? And he isn't interested in worship style, but in our attitude as we come to worship. So how real is God to us, anyhow? When we pray, do we mean what we say? The teacher's message in these verses is very simple. When you go to the house of God, remember that it is God whose presence you are entering. And you should come ready to listen to God's words and not to blurt out your own words. You know, emptiness and empty dreams expressed in a rash of words have nothing to do with worship. Bluntly, to pour out a stream of ill-considered prayers in God's presence is the mark of a fool, Solomon said. So what are the fools doing in the temple or in church at all? Why are they there? Perhaps they have come to make a vow to God. Grant my prayer, Lord, and I promise to give you, you know, making vows was permitted for the Israelites. You can find that back in Numbers 30 and Psalm 66, but it was seen as an expression of dependence on God. You can find that in 1 Samuel, Hannah's prayer especially. But in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 through 7, it tells us that we must honor God with your vow. If God grants your request to give, give God what you promised. And if you were serious in making your vow, honor it. This is another aspect of the teacher's repeated call for us to face reality. But here's the point. Face the reality of God. Take the God whom you worship seriously, the trouble with the person that the teacher's depicting in today's text is this refusal to face God and face reality. The person toils excessively in pursuit of unrealistic expectations, and this is what leads to the worldly prayers you hear some people pray. They just go on and on and on with a whole bunch of words and don't say anything, but I digress. When the person comes before God in worship, by all these worldly words, it is a recipe for disaster. The scripture that I read today focuses on one aspect of worship, standing in awe of God. Of course, worship is also about celebrating God's goodness with feasting and rejoicing, Deuteronomy 16, or coming to God with joyful thanksgiving and praise, Psalm 96 and Psalm 100. The teacher would not have us to disagree with those texts, but he wants us to make a point, a fundamental point. Think about worship involves, and do we truly stand in awe of God? Do we make it an aim always to think of God realistically and soberly? I pray that we do. But finally, the passage that I read this week in this point, and it comes between passages that speak about injustice and about people becoming enslaved to money, which we read in chapter 4. But today's text suggests one way injustice arises is how people come to pursue false gods by forgetting the one true God, treating God lightly, worshiping money rather than God, or imagining that God really isn't interested in how we conduct ourselves or how we treat our fellow human beings. By contrast, Solomon urges us to fear God and to live our lives in the knowledge of God's coming judgment. So, are we willing to hear him? I like what one of the Psalms says, "Be still and know I'm God." And sometimes that's what we got to do. God wants to talk to us, and he wants us to talk to him. But it has to be in reverence. But I think sometimes the days that we live in, sometimes our churches can become welcoming, and you heard the phrase, seeker-friendly. We want people to come to church, that's for sure. And if they're seeking and different things, we want to be able to help them do that. But that's not a bad thing, but there's a danger putting people off. We fail to convey the appropriate sense of awe in worship. Would non-Christian visitors be shocked by what they see, our casual attitude towards God in some of the worship services? And I pray that that's not the case at Bethel, although we're not a perfect church by no means, and I think sometimes we fall short when visitors come. Maybe we don't have our best foot forward, and I don't know. But people that are seeking God and want to come and worship with other believers is an important part. So the root of all sin is idolatry, holding wrong ideas about God or worshiping false gods. You can look at that in Romans chapter 1. You can think of examples in this world around us, and yet, mere alarmingly in Christian circles, sometimes you hear it, it's not really worshiping God. So Christian circles are known to be wonderful and uplifting. But we have to be careful. That's what Solomon's saying. Be careful in how you approach God. Be careful in how you worship God. And be careful in how you ask God for a blessing or asking for something else. Wisdom, that's what Solomon said. He had everything in the world. And so God asked him, "Okay, Solomon, you got everything. What do you want?" And he said, "God, I want wisdom." And Solomon got wisdom. So what a joy. Amen. We continue on with the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon's an interesting character. He gives us some things to think about that even relate to our day and time that we live in. So with that, we want to say a special prayer for the prayer of people that we have on our list at church. And nothing wrong with making a list. And you can click on the slides portion here on the website under Pastor's Thoughts, and it'll take you to the list that we have for people that we're asked to be put on there, or prayers of intercessory. But you know, you don't need an 800 number. You don't even need a preacher. No, you don't need people like me to pray for you, although we will and we would. But you need to learn to talk to God for yourself, because God wants to communicate with you. That's what Solomon has been trying to tell us, and the Holy Spirit has been trying to tell us that for a long time. Learn to talk to God, and you will be blessed, because He'll talk back to you. And He always answers prayers, but maybe not the way that we think they should be answered. It's maybe wait, maybe later, maybe not right now, or, yep, I'll honor that prayer request. Well, we close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to His disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. May God add His blessings to the prayer that He taught to the disciples and to us.